Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
What? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay, hey, welcome back to Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila. And today we are with Carly Holman Long. And she's the editor of Printwear Magazine with NBM. And hopefully I've said all that right. How did I do?
Pretty good.
Okay. And Carly is we just found out, is dialing in from Colorado. So, you know, if you've watched the news about Colorado, We're making certain assumptions about Carly right off the bat.
If she repeats things over and over again, or is eating a lot of food, or whatever.
We keep hearing really chips thirsty in the background. I don't know why that is.
So here we are, CAS podcast, and Carly, you know, came on to talk about the industry, the apparel decorating industry. Talk about printwear, and really just to help to educate, you know, everybody that's here listening about kind of who you are, you know, who you are, who you represent, and how all of us together through CAS and through all of our resources can help them grow their businesses. So why don't we start with you just telling us, I guess, who is, you know, who's NBM and printwear?
And then who's Carly?
And who's Carly, yeah.
All right. I can do that. So NBM is National Business Media. We are located in Broomfield, Colorado, which is in between Boulder and Denver. We are a publication house that does business-to-business magazines across several industries. The NBM show that you are hopefully familiar with does the printwear segment, which is apparel decorating, obviously, awards and engraving, and sign and digital graphics. So we are actually in Orlando right now with that show. And then we also house a couple of RV magazines and auto magazines as well.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So, and do you oversee all of those, or what's your role?
Oh, no, I am just on the printwear side.
Okay. I would think that would keep you a little busy.
It's busy enough. I stepped into this role as the executive editor in I guess officially September of last year. So I am still learning the ropes of everything. I've been with the magazine for almost 4 years now, but just new to this role. So I'm learning a lot more.
So is NBM and printwear your first intro into the apparel decorating world, or did you work in it? How did you get started?
It is my first intro into apparel decorating. I have a background in wholesale retail apparel. I went to school for apparel merchandising and worked various retail jobs, and then worked for the Italian brand Diesel at their headquarters in New York doing wholesale sales for a while. So,
nice. So, okay. So two things. First of all, I didn't realize that Diesel was an Italian brand.
It is, yes.
And I've never actually talked to anybody who, like, started out and meant to be in this business. You know, that wasn't basically like born into it.
Yeah.
You know, people usually either end up in it, or, you know, their mother or father or grandfather started a business and they're just carrying it on. So it's interesting. So you actually went to school for
apparel merchandising. Yep.
Okay.
At good old Colorado State University. So I kind of fell into this world, really. It was a happy little coincidence. I had just moved back from New York and was looking for work, and I had always kind of blogged on the side and enjoyed writing, and found an opening for a magazine about apparel decorating, and so applied, and here we are today.
Perfect. And did you start writing for them? What did you start with?
Yes, I was originally the staff writer, and then I've always kind of handled the fashion shows that we do. We put on one a year. We used to do four when we had promo wear around. So I coordinate and schedule all of the fashion shows. So doing that, I became the associate fashion editor for the magazine and focused on the softer side of the business, and then moved into editorship.
Cool. Well, what I guess what I'm curious about to start with is So you obviously you have some education and some formal training in merchandising and mm-hmm. and folks. So I guess in regards to your formal training, what are some little tidbits or some information or some thoughts or advice that you can give to folks that are they're starting their apparel business or they've got one going
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to sell more shirts. You know, they're trying to sell more hats. And of course, you know, everything comes along. They hit brick walls where they can't seem to get past or sell more, or they're not sure of where to start on how to make it look right.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things through your experience or your formal education that you think are crucial or can help or some thought process or philosophies?
So, are you talking like in-shop kind of stores?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in-shop or online,
okay.
I think both. You know, I mean, that's really, you know, I think a good portion of the people that we're going to be talking to, they're either going to have a small shop or they might run online.
Right.
But they're not really sure necessarily how to bring it to market.
I think with both retail, in-store, and online, accessibility is a huge thing. In-store, people are very tactile, so you need to have your samples readily available for them to touch and feel and pull down off the shelf or the hangers or whatever, so they can really see what the substrate is and look at the decoration. On the online side, I think it's important to have easy links to everything and have everything laid out cleanly. Same with in-store. You don't want it to be overwhelming because then people get overwhelmed with options and you get bogged down with sorting through them. I think when you're displaying what you can sell, having a variety, but very tailored, if that makes sense. So, you know, the best of what you do on your top-selling substrates, and then some of the more outskirts stuff that can get you into more niche projects.
Right. I like that a lot. Now, I'd say probably a small percentage of our customers have retail outlets.
Okay.
Most of them sell online. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Oh, I'd say... you know what? It's actually an interesting mix, and I think it's constantly evolving. But as far as a physical retail store, you know, that's going to be a mix. However, we do have a good amount of folks that don't necessarily have a retail store. They might operate out of an industrial type of complex, or
right.
they might operate home based,
yeah.
Where they're not necessarily coming in and have somebody buy something pre-made, but they do have to deliver samples to
yeah.
people,
yeah.
and they will schedule meetings. And I think that what you said is really important on not only on the clothing side, on the actual undecorated apparel that they're bringing, but also on the supply side as well. If they're dealing with rhinestones, spangles, you know, any thread, embroidery thread. Ink can be a little bit different because it's not necessarily exactly the same as those, but these are things that you need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's important to balance the giving them the ability to see what you think that what is going to be good for them without overwhelming them. And there's something that I read a while back about kind of talking about the Baskin-Robbins 32 flavors and how that's a mistake.
Okay.
And because it's too many flavors.
I agree.
Okay.
And when somebody is coming together and you're going to have a meeting about t-shirts, if you bring the entire catalog of your t-shirt supplier, or you bring one of every color shirt, they might have 42 of a shirt. It's an overwhelming number.
Right.
That meeting is going to be uncomfortable for them more than likely. So having the shirt there is important, but you don't need to have four shades of the red.
Yeah, and you know, I actually think it may be like more of a problem for most of our customers on the other side,
mm-hmm.
in that they really don't even think about like the touch and feel, like Carly said, about bringing samples.
Mm-hmm.
Like Carly, we did a podcast, our episode number 3. About not social media marketing, where we talked about actually getting out and talking to people, meeting people in person. And it sounds like you've had a lot of experience with those face-to-face interactions.
Yes.
So would you bring samples in, or when you had those meetings, would people approach you with samples of the garments that they they created?
You know, if I were on the decorating side, I would definitely bring probably a maximum of 5 samples.
Okay.
And doing sales stuff, I think people tend to overdo it and show everything they can because they want to make a sale. I don't know if I'm answering your question properly. I'm sorry.
No, I think you're going right in the right direction, I think. And that's important. I think five is a good number if we need to put a number on what you need to bring.
Right.
If we're talking about t-shirts or hats, you probably want to bring some different styles, but if it's more than 5, you can find yourself where they can't make a decision, and then they don't make a decision, and then you walk away without making the sale, which means somebody else might make it.
Right.
They'll get bogged down with too many options, I think. People get overwhelmed really easily when they don't necessarily know exactly what they want or what they're going for. And that can usually scare a lot of people off. Or you're just going to get yourself in too deep.
Right. That goes to something else that you'd mentioned, kind of like rang a bell with me for a lot of our customers. And these are ones that don't necessarily – they're not the highest percentage, I don't think, that actually make it after a short period of time in business. And we do because, you know, on the Coldesi side, we sell direct-to-garment printers for doing custom tees and embroidery machines and bling machines, you know, for doing aftermarket rhinestone and spangle apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly on the DTG side, what we get is, or frequently, we'll get somebody that really wants to start their brand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in other words, so they'll come to us with, like, I have this cool logo, or this one cool character that they want to put on a shirt and they want to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So Carly, can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, you've been with a brand and you've gone to the right schools and you're working for the right magazine. What do you think about people that go into business with that kind of an idea?
It's a slippery slope. If you have a great idea and it takes off, then wonderful, and you're branded and you're keeping everything in house and you have your business. But a lot of times, like you said, it can fail really quickly. It's a really loud market. It's very busy with a lot of turnover. I think if you have the genius idea of one logo or brand or whatever you're looking to start, outsourcing is the best thing you can do, and partnering with a decorator that has the capabilities that you're looking for. Because not only do they have the expertise, they have business that can help support the equipment and everything else. I think that's a great way to start learning and getting into it.
Okay.
Or if you want to start your own brand, you need to start looking for niche markets within the market you're trying to sell to that you can actually decorate for, I think.
So give me an example of a niche market.
For example, I just spoke to someone not too long ago who does embroidery that does just heraldry. They just do classic crest and heraldry stitches.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting, but they do really well with it. It's kind of their trademark is to do really beautiful classic crests. Obviously, that's scary, and he probably found his way into it very later in business, but anything like that. Other people that are into dogs go to the dog shows, you know, or cheer people, dance people. Anything like that where you can kind of just find one market and go for it.
Yeah, and that's a theme that's come up here on CAS a few times now that we've discussed is finding the niche. And if we're kind of crossing that line with the brand line, like a developing your own brand of clothing, so I would say, you know, two things. I would, as much as Mark might not like to hear this because what he does versus what I do.
Right.
But if somebody calls me up and says, I've got the best clothing line idea, I want to buy a machine so I could start my clothing line, I would say don't. You know, just because that's not the right way to start that unless you're prepared to spend a good amount of money and lose it.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of, you know, being a musician or being an artist. There's a million brand ideas out there for really cool t-shirts. And half of them might be awesome, but only less than 1% of them is going to succeed.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but if you're going for, say, urban wear or skateboarding type of brand, find a way into that niche market to create custom decorated apparel for those people, and then you have the opportunity to launch
establish your own brand
within
that. I like that.
So if you find these folks that are, they are in competition, and you create custom apparel for them and the team of folks that they work with, or specifically create designs, for people and for their businesses, and just find the people within that community and help to serve them not only in that community but in the other things that they do. So somebody who might work for a business or own a small business themselves and be within this cheer community or whatever it might be. So to launch a dancewear line of t-shirts is going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But to get into the dancewear community and develop custom apparel for them and side launch your brand that's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And you could slowly grow that, and eventually you get to the point where you got to meet the right key person. And you meet the right key person who's famous, even to a degree.
In the niche.
Who has clout in the brand, and then they will endorse your brand, and then that's what's going to take it.
Right.
You got to reach that tipping point on a brand.
That's why you're coming out with the Mark Vela embroidery thread, isn't it?
I do. That's what it is. Specifically, it's a unique color. Yes.
Right.
It comes in one color.
I would like to see the sample.
Yeah, no problem. We will never leave home without it. So let's get back to the world of print media and Printwear Magazine and what you've seen since you started. I mean, what trends in the marketplace are you seeing? What's the 10,000 foot view literally from where you are in Colorado?
Well, on the apparel side, everything continues to be really retail influenced. I think blends are really popular still. That really soft hand. Tri blends are all still going strong.
Okay.
What's interesting that I've seen recently is there's a lot more texture and patterns in blings, which is interesting for apparel that's intended to be decorated. But I think that's kind of a fun challenge for decorators, and it's fun aesthetically for the wearers and end users, so it makes it interesting to them and want to keep wearing it.
So give me an idea on the textured materials. Are you just talking about like heather shirts or what?
Well, heather is one of them for sure. Burnouts is another that's really textural.
Okay, right.
Some brands are doing speckled, where they're weaving in different flecks of color. So it really has a thick texture on top of a fine fabric, which I think is really fascinating. What else is there? And then like on the print side, stripes are really big. Lace is really big. There's just a lot of really interesting things that I think could be a challenge for decorators, but a good one.
So then that's a good thing. If somebody is listening to this, has a small apparel decorating business, and they want to be able to, now they're working, whether we mentioned, the cheer crowd or the dance crowd or whatever niche you're working within. So you're saying that when they're bringing samples, I would assume what would be the fashion forward stuff that they would want to bring that would be different than just the traditional plain blank shirt?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you mentioned like heathers, and what was the other one you mentioned is there the speckled?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And what are some other things that they should look for in bringing out samples so they can stand? Because I think that's a great thing, is if you can come with a t-shirt that's a little bit different.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's a little bit closer to what they're going to see, like Carla said, in a retail environment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Burnouts, heathers, tri-blends, anything else that you're seeing? How about in the other than just the printed material, are you seeing anything in particular in caps or shorts or pants or anything else that people are using?
Caps are funny. It's kind of in a throwback moment, like snapbacks and more modern truckers with a smaller crown, but still that traditional kind of fluffy front and mesh back are all making a comeback from what I'm seeing. It's kind of that everything is old is new again, the hipster credo.
Interesting. Are you wearing acid wash jeans right now? That's the question.
They are clean wash, but yes, acid is around again.
See?
In pants, it's funny. I just did something on fleecewear, and sweatpants, like banded at the bottom, sweatpants are becoming more and more popular in urban markets on a wholesale.
That's terrible.
Well, if you go to any retail store now in the ladies section, you're going to have like tuxedo striped sweatpants, kind of that fancy leisure look. So I think that's going to start showing up on our end of the market as well.
Wait, is that kind of the poor man's alternative to yoga pants? Is that what we're...
I think it's actually the rich person's alternative to yoga pants.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
Right.
Just turn that around.
Turn that right around.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my friends at Lululemon and see what they think about that.
Oh, Lulu.
Well, I think that's an important point to make is when just because you're doing decorated apparel, you don't have to necessarily be trying to go to be quote unquote like fashionable and trendy. You don't have to be you don't have to be trying too hard to get there. However, if the blanks that you're working with fit within the style. So now we consider what I would consider is the customer that you're trying to sell to they've maybe called two or three shops in the area asking for some custom shirts to be made. So there's the first step that you're going to get is the offer to show samples. To say, I'm going to come out and I'm going to show you this, or you can come in here and I'll show you this so you can get a feel for it. As Carly mentioned from kind of her experience and her knowledge, and we just know this, that anytime you could touch and feel that apparel, it makes you that much more comfortable. And I was actually just talking about that at lunchtime with a friend of mine.
Okay.
We were talking about different online businesses and stuff like that. And I was saying that local apparel is still very successful because it's still unsettling to order clothing online.
Yeah.
I don't know when it won't be.
Well, and honestly, the last two success stories that we did for Cold Essie, and that's JMH Graphics, which is, I think, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and DL Creations, which is in Kenner, Louisiana. You know, both of those towns are around 50, 60,000 people,
mm-hmm.
and they do almost exclusively local business.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that bears it out.
Yeah, so get them to come to you or go to them, with some samples. But in that sample pack, so now you're maybe one step ahead. However, if they've called three people, at least one other of them has suggested that as well.
Right.
You're not going to be the only one to say, let me show you samples.
Right.
So I think the next level that you could take above that is to give them the traditional sample. Here's the traditional hat and the traditional, here's the plain baseball cap and a plain t-shirt because that's what they might have in their mind. But if you bring the heather and you bring the speckled or you bring the trucker
tribal
cat
hands,
or the, or you bring the tri-blend, you're bringing these different things. Now you've given them a different food for thought that nobody else might have given them.
I like that a lot, especially because I think, that we emphasize a lot when we do our return on investment calculations for DTG printers specifically. You know, we emphasize, well, a plain white cotton shirt is like $1.30.
Yeah.
You know, and a mid-grade quality black 100% cotton shirt is, $2.60. Where, now I have to brag, we have, I think, what is one of the few direct garment printer and ink sets that will actually print beautifully on tri-blends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a place where we can encourage people, get some tri-blends, get an athletic, combo of shorts and a tri-blend shirt. Do a design on that and bring that out as a sample.
Yeah. Yeah. That's in regards to brands out there, Carly, you probably would, I assume you would know better than us. If someone who's listening wants to be able to say, well, I do want to have some clothing that is a little bit more fashionable that I can bring out, so I don't have to just bring out the plain square t-shirt. Are there any particular, brands out there that they can start to look into? And not that we ever try to plug people specifically, but as broad of a range as you can give, so they have a starting point to jump off of.
Yeah, for sure. What I think is interesting, actually, is every major brand out there right now has something on the trendier side. It's not just basic blanks anymore. So you can find something interesting from any supplier that you work with. That being said, most of the West Coast brands tend to be a little bit more fashion forward because they're in, you know, the trenches of the apparel market and manufacturing. Bella, American Apparel, New Next Level are all pretty fashion forward, Cavio. But that being said, basic brands like Jerseys, Gildan, Anvil, they all have really good fashion blanks as well. It just depends on the level of fashion that you want to go for, I think.
Okay, and so, now give me a feeling here of the people that you talk to when you're at a trade show or when you're working on content for Printwear Magazine. You know, where do most of the people that read your magazine, for example, fall on that scale? Are most of the people that are printwear consumers, are they looking for that 10 out of 10, you know, Bjork feather outfit, you know, kind of thing? Or are they looking for, you know, or are they looking for like a wife beater t-shirt is a one? Where do they fall?
I don't Our readers run.
That's true. I meant
I am not going to endorse
that. I meant
that.
A small, inexpensive tank blank shirt.
I just want to say
singlet?
I'm more Tequila, and that was not me.
Yes, okay.
I think singlet is the proper term. If you want
is
to go
really?
British
that
term.
Calls completely different things to mind for me.
What's the proper term?
Singlet. That's usually what the British say for tank tops. So I tend to go with that one.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I like your style. I've never used that word before, though. I assume that sounds like a woman's piece of clothing only.
Yeah, but you know, you can't get the idea.
Okay, what was the question? English. What was the question before I took us in a different direction?
It's, you know, in the printwear consumer world, you mm-hmm. know, consumers of that magazine and the customers that you talk to, Carly, if one, someone is just interested in decorating a singlet, and a 10 is they're incredibly fashion forward, they're looking for the, you know, whatever's on the red carpet or, you know, the Bjork feather outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do your customers fall in? What are people looking at?
Oh, we have such a diverse range of readers that it's hard to say, but, I would tend to say that it's somewhere in like the 4 or 5 range for fashionists for most people. Cause everyone wants to feel stylish and comfortable and look current. And that's what as a decorator you want to be selling, because then you get multiple impressions, not just the one time wear. I think blanks are obviously always going to be the bread and butter of this industry, and there's such great options out there for every end user, whether it's for a charity event, like I said, or for t-shirts for a restaurant or anything, there's something there. A big part of our readership, I think, is in the performance side, doing team wear and stuff like that. And fortunately, every brand, once again, has at least one item that's performance-based, whether it's simply UPF or it's moisture wicking or anti-stain. There's something there, too. So I think there is a wide enough range there that, you know, you can find a little bit of everything for everyone.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, I do like it. You know, a point that was that you had said there, one of you guys had said, now I don't remember who said it, but if you get something and some decorated apparel made for whatever event it might be, if it's just the plain, non-fashionable, just traditional plain t-shirt, that oftentimes will turn, that event shirt will turn into like gardening or mechanic wear
mm-hmm.
or painting. The house wear, painting wear. Rather than the shirt that I would want to wear out again. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to wear it on a Friday night out,
yeah.
But if the t-shirt that you have created is the one that folks, is the one that is a little bit nicer and is a little bit more fashionable a little bit more fashionable on the side. It doesn't have to be a 10 out of 10, but if it's a 5 out of 10 rather than a 1.
They'll wear it to Target or someplace like that.
They'll wear it to like the Little League game or something like that.
It
actually would wear it again. And I think that's important, which leads me to another thought, and I'm curious on Carly if you have any advice or thoughts on this, but I think that there is a level of importance on getting your company name or your company brand on every shirt that goes out there. In a perfect world, you know, all your shirts would be tagged with your company name on it. Now, however, that can get expensive.
Well, in a perfect world, your company name would be across the back of every
like
shirt.
A billboard,
like a Letterman jacket name on the back.
And they would be okay with that.
Yeah, there'd be a small logo on the front, and then your big company name on the back.
But what do you think is the, or do you have any thoughts on the importance of branding your own business within the decorated apparel that you're selling, the custom decorated apparel that's being sold? How are some people doing that you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think that branding yourself as a leader in the decorated apparel market in your neighborhood or whatever locale you're going for is extremely important. Whether it depends on what the client is willing to go with, I think. A lot of people who have the means are using tearaway t-shirts and doing prints on the neck tag. You know, because people don't like tags anyway, so if you can put your company name there. But then sometimes you run into the branding of the blank supplier.
Yeah.
I think in instances with that, it's important to put your business card in with each order, whether it's each t-shirt, which could be a bit excessive, or putting it in with the order in a nice little package. I've heard of certain people putting hang tags on their clothes or their hats or just tying it to the brim of a hat, or I'm sorry, the back of a hat. I think as long as you can get your name in that order, it helps create more of an impression with your end user.
I think that's good. The hang tag one is, so there's a few different levels here that we run into because, well, for one, all these things are going to add to the cost of the garment.
Yes, of course.
It's going to go out.
Physical in the material cost and the time it takes you to produce.
The material, so you have to make a choice on how impactful do you think this is going to be to gaining more business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my opinion, I find it to be very, very impactful, especially if you're talking about doing 300 shirts. And we're just talking statistics here. So if you're doing 300 shirt orders and you're doing, say three of those orders a week, so you're almost at 1,000 garments. If you can get, if 1% of the people that are going to wear those garments might be somebody who has an influence on purchasing custom apparel in the future, well, we've got 10 people. So you have the possibility for 10 referrals from branding each individual shirt or hat. However, you've got to bring that cost down to the point where it makes sense.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
So, you know, I have seen the if it's screen printing or garment printing, sometimes you could just directly put the ink on the shirt in a spot, you know, like you said, a rip-off tag. A little bit of labor in that.
Right.
But the cost is almost nothing. There's the hang tag, which is nice. The business card is probably the easiest.
I really like that. And then, you know, because when you do the business card play, then what you're doing is kind of, you're after the person that ordered the box of shirts
mm-hmm.
or a bunch of shirts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not necessarily individual consumers,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's really only been like maybe 5 times in my life, and it could just be because I dress so poorly, but that I've had somebody say, hey, where did you get that shirt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think it's less of, I wouldn't be looking for the, hey, where'd you get that shirt referral.
Right.
I would be looking for so you've produced shirts for a family reunion.
Right.
And it's a nice family, like big family, 100 people are getting it. 200 people are getting
it. Because honestly, the family reunions, when there's only like five people, they're not going to buy shirts.
Yeah, my family reunion, there's never shirts.
Yeah, okay.
But the bigger family, if there's enough where there's 100 people in there, what my thought behind it is that within that 100 people, they all do something else. One of them is a plumber. One of them's an electrician. One of them is a store manager.
Yeah.
One of them is a little league coach.
Yep.
And if that person gets that card, that's the business that I'm looking. That's the business that I would be looking for.
Yeah. Okay.
It is when you're doing large groups of people. Generally speaking, within that large group of people, there is a percentage of people that have influenced to purchase more apparel later on.
Yep.
Fully agree.
I agree.
So then I'd say I'm going to check that off as a yes.
That's a yes.
To do that.
You should do something like that.
Another little idea that I've always liked is if you have a shirt folder and the clear bags, which is a little bit of a cost in labor, but it's not terrible, you can get those clear bags with your business name on it.
Ah.
That's a nice idea.
It'll be a throwaway item. You know, but again, it's there, and it makes it that much nicer. It's going to be better than your competition who's delivering them in the used Gildan box.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that is what happens, isn't it?
You know, the Gildan box arrives with all the shirts kind of not folded nicely usually, but like wrapped together.
Piled
and folded nicely, but not individually. If you individually wrap the shirts and put them in, If you can arrange that, you need to get a good system. You need a little shirt folding tray.
Right.
You can get that. You can do. I've seen it all. Very inexpensive to do. But if you do that, you get a screen print on those bags, that's a nice way to do it, and it's impressive. Everyone's gonna remember that shirt over anyone.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mark, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up today?
Well, I'm just kind of interested as a final note. You know, Carly, why don't you just wrap up by giving us your general impressions and what you see, you know, in the industry as a whole. I mean, you're out in the fashion world, you're bridging that gap to the decorated apparel. I mean, what's going on from your perspective?
I think the biggest thing right now is technology is taking over every aspect of the business. Obviously, there's a place for every single decoration method, but direct-to-garment seems to be making some bigger waves now that the science behind it is kind of more refined and it's more accessible. There's more companies in the game. That seems to be a big one. And then with everything else, you have all of the cloud-based technology, so you can run machines away from the shop or check in on thread breaks from your iPad. That's all going to be big players, I think, and just keep getting more and more popular.
Interesting.
I think in terms of screen printing, you know, there's always a place for plastisol, but water-based plays really nicely with the softer, more retail-driven blanks and substrates.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I think is on-demand customization, which again, direct-to-garment printing and heat transfers really play into. People want things with their name on it, or they want to customize the graphic that's going to go on there. So anything on demand is going to be huge, I think, and continue to grow.
Okay.
I think pushing your – if you have the opportunity to take your business model to go with as get customizing each garment as much as possible with keeping costs down – you really get the chance to one-up the person, the other business in your area.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, you have somebody, they just have a multi-head embroidery machine and a traditional screen press unit, and that's all they have. And for them to just be able to, say, put a different name on every shirt is a big challenge. You're not going to want to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
However, with single-head embroidery systems or garment systems and things of that nature where you have a little more control of being able to get variable data in there, I think that you have the opportunity to now bring something to the table your competition doesn't. So you could say, well, how about this?
Right.
How about on every shirt we put this?
Yeah.
For each individual.
Right.
Well, how much more is that going to cost me? Not that much.
Yeah.
A buck or two.
Right.
You know, really? You know, and the chances of them going to the other person that they're talking to that can offer that?
Zero.
Yeah, it's very
zero.
Low.
Yeah.
Very low, which means now you've made the sale just by offering something that you've sold them as a great idea, because it is a great idea.
Right.
You
it's
know?
True. And you're not just saying that because that was your idea just now. Right?
No. It was my idea many years
okay,
ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is not new.
All right. I think we're going to have to open the door and let some of the egos out of this room a little bit. So I think that's it for us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy. I'm happy with what we talked about today.
Did I give you some good stuff, guys?
You did.
Yeah, and I think it's some good stuff we haven't talked about before in regards to a little bit of the fashion side of things and thinking about that.
Okay.
Putting thought into that is important. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought about this really as a fashion business, and you've kind of led our thought processes down that road, so I'm sure we'll be in touch on that topic as well.
Okay, great.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Sorry for all the technical difficulties at the beginning and being patient.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, for those that don't know, it took Carly like an hour and a half to get her audio working.
And that has nothing to do with what happens in Colorado.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Just to wrap that up. That's unrelated.
You can tell she's very clear. She knows what's happening right now.
It's the altitude.
That's what it is.
Yeah, altitude. It's very high.
All right. Thanks for being with us, Carly. And that concludes another episode of Custom Apparel Startups Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.